Welcome to Course in Miracles. We are studying a section of the course that is called The Unreality of Sin. And it exists, of course, because the reality of sin is in our face every day. So what we're doing in these last couple of weeks, the next couple of weeks, is to chip away at some of the major barriers, some of the major sins or ways that, you know, the idea, the false idea of sin is held as a block to the awareness of love's presence. Okay, in other words, remember in the last couple of weeks, we said that the problem is, Marion, the problem is that you know something that's not true.
But I know it.
Yep. Yep. So it's right there, and it's strong, and it's an illusion that you continue to reinvent very quickly and very certainly. This is the power of your own mind working against you.
Is that in a pattern, you?
Oh, yes, in a pattern.
Everybody has their own pattern of recreating sin so they can interpret their life within this illusion.
He's saying exactly what I was trying to say to you earlier. Thank you. Exactly. And that's what makes our creative, if you will, contribution looks like that. Or like this. Or like that. Each having our own sensitivities. Or that's why fear is many, love is one. So, thank you.
Sure.
So, tonight, the barrier, the flavor, if you will, and remember, Marianne, there's no such thing as sin. This course boils it down to really, it redefines that, you know, as separation. The idea that there is some mistake that you could make that's unforgivable, uncorrectable. That you could actually do something with your mind or with your body or with your whatever. That means you're no longer welcome in heaven. It means you're guilty. That's what a sin would be. Of course, it's, oh my God, how did you come up with this idea? Oh, I know how. You want to see what it's like to be outside of God. That's, you needed something like, something crazy like that to pull it off. And then you figure somewhere along the line, you committed some sin, some type of separation was made real. The body's a perfect medium. And you invest your own being inside of one of the creatures that you made, among other creatures that you made, and separation now has a stage, and it's got a whole audience, and it's got other separate pieces to compete with your separate piece. It's perfect. Good job. Well done. Well done. You now have a separate experience. But everybody here in this room knows it's not true. Everyone here has something gnawing at them that says, I don't buy it. I don't buy that what I see in this world. I don't buy that the rules of the world apply to truth.
Another question?
Yes?
Question.
Yep.
How does reincarnation enter into it?
Reincarnation is yet another facet of the dream. Of separation and the world of individuals. Just another facet. It's the same as time. It's just it goes along. If you have time, you can then have multiple recurring
progression in time.
Progression, you bet. Indeed, it's all the same level. So the aspect tonight we're looking at is the barrier, the flavor of barrier that we're looking at. Which leads to an immense amount of guilt, attack, sin, right? Ways to prove separation. We'll just call them all sin for now, because that's the title of the section. The ways to prove separation. In other words, the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. The aspect we're looking at tonight is your brother. The other. The one who causes trouble in your life. The one that maybe if you did punish once or twice a little more severe, maybe things would be better.
What?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Punish, you said?
You already picked the person out, right?
I want to punch in the nose.
Right? Sometimes you think if you just punish that person, maybe more severe than you're willing to, perhaps things might go a little better.
Teach him a lesson.
Teach him a lesson. He's being unfair, isn't he? Isn't he being a little unfair? So
more
maybe somebody should... What?
More than that.
He'll put him in his place. You know what? Do him a favor. Do yourself a favor. Everybody else a favor. And attack the SOB. There's somebody in your life, most likely, you think this might even be the right thing to do.
Well, how dare he put us in fear?
Yeah.
Put me in fear.
Yeah, how dare? Yep. McLean.
Okay. So, if we are all... I mean, we are all one at love.
Yep.
At love. And when we're engaging with our brother,
mm-hmm.
and we no longer want to engage in that manner physically with
yep.
our brother,
yep,
that is not attack, is it?
An attack is of any flavor. Even staying with the person can be an attack. Leaving the person can be an attack.
That's what I...
Being neutral can be an attack. Trying not to say a thing, but still being there, but being present... Present physically, but not present mentally, is an attack. Okay? So no, it's not necessarily an attack to leave somebody. No. No. In fact, we'll be looking into a bit of attack tonight.
Isn't it an implied attack? Saying, I'm leaving because of you, of what you did.
No, that's not.
An attack is an attempt to harm, so that you can feel better. An attempt to harm the other.
But to do something that makes it like that, makes it a statement.
Depends on how you leave.
Of that person's guilt.
It depends on how you leave.
If you leave in love.
Yeah.
If you leave in love, then it's not attack.
Yes, if you believe this is truly the best thing for both sides.
Right, because it has pain and ugly.
And certainly the best thing for you. And you're not trying to take something as you go.
No.
It's not an attack.
You're not slamming the doors.
You're not slamming the doors. Yeah, it depends on how you leave. If you could, because we talked about this with tough love with children.
Right.
Sometimes you love that kid forever, thank you, but you know what? This is going to be ugly. It has to happen. I'm the parent. I'm responsible, and I have to do this. It's the best I can do is to curb this child, and it's loving actually, because the rest of the child's life will not have this problem. You know, well, you're going to the street hit by a bus. That's a real problem for the rest of the kid's life. I'm going to stop him, and his skateboard will continue, and it will be crushed.
Because leaving physically doesn't mean you really leave, because you're still part of the oneness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's...
Yes. Now, in the highest truth, where all is one, you can't leave.
Right. That's...
You can't really join either as a verb.
No.
You are already together.
Right.
Right? In the highest truth, we don't live there. In this world.
It's just the shadow figure drama stuff that
yes.
you can say no to that.
Yes.
Right?
Now, in your practice, in your spiritual practice, you'll move from the separate individual that no matter how close you ever got to that person, you are still separate.
Right.
Okay? We'll move from that
to that.
Watching the oneness all the way. And this is where your heart fills. And now you have the capacity to leave or to stay. Within the light of the oneness. And that's light in the dream.
And you decide with the Holy Spirit then.
Yes.
At that point.
This is yeah. And it's the grounds of the holy relationship, which was before it was what we call an unholy relationship or special relationship, where it was divisive.
And there were expectations and
yeah.
all that.
You may leave that person because you finally included what's best for both of you equally. And you said, we can't possibly stay together. This is a disaster. Breaks my heart. I must go. And it's love. It's love that says, you two are fire and gas. It happens. Yeah. So good. Thank you. Because that's all these flavors of your other. The other. The brother. Just means other in the Course of Miracles. So what I want you to do is let's just spend a few moments. Thank you, Michaeline. You really teed it up for us. And just spend a few minutes with this whole idea of sin. And how the other is involved. Others. We're here with A Course in Miracles tonight to heal our minds from the whole idea that there are things and ideas and that there are events that can occur that are so harmful. They're evil. That they are unforgivable. If there was some event, something, some that could happen in this existence that was truly unforgivable, not welcome in the presence of God. You do this, you're out. If that were true, then duality would be real, and separation would be real. And God, as this course describes God, would not exist. That's just to put some gravity on our discussion. Because in our minds, there are various serious things that seem to happen here. Serious things for which we don't want to forgive and don't think anybody should. Check yourself on that. Investigate that. Go find out what your brother could do or has done or is the feeling in your heart. Let's make it personal. Is there a feeling in your heart over somebody that maybe you will just decide to keep the aggression there, maybe just forever? Get in touch with that. Picture that person. It might be yourself. And now I want you to, as you hold that person, I want you to look above, way above that person, way above that person and you. Up, up, up. To a bright light. A bright light. We're just going to call this the source. It's so far, but it's so bright. And here's you over here, and here's that person over there. Now I want you to see rays of light coming down from that bright light. Down and curving around and coming right in through your feet and right in through their feet. That SOB standing over there. That bright light coming down and through both of your feet, giving each of you the colors you have. And I want you to picture a friend of yours, somebody you just love, somebody you adore, somebody you would help to move the sofa at any hour of the day or night. I'll be right over. Who is that? Who is that? Picture that person. And put that person now over to one side. And now there's you. There's that dirty, stinking, rotten SOB. And then there's your friend. Your wonderful friend. It's so good to have somebody like that in this world, isn't it? It kind of makes a lot of things okay. Look at that friend now. See that friend like they normally are, the one you love. And look at their feet, and look, it's the same stream of light curves around and makes its way right back up to the source too. But with your friend, it just seems to glow. I mean, it goes right through the feet and up through the body into the face, and oh my God, this person is just so loving. They're just so funny. How much you like this person. And now watch as they are so full of light that there starts to bleed over to that dirty SOB that you've been trying to push off into the corner. Watch your friend's light flow out of their fingers and their ears and their shoulders, and it kind of blends over with their other SOB over there. And it starts to light them up. Even as they are as they are. And that light, as combined, now shines on you. And it continues to hold color in you. It continues to hold you up. Notice how the light reflects back now, and it's been there the whole time, through the two of them, over to you, from you back to them. You didn't notice it before, but now you see it. It's flowing. Now when you look to see your friend or that dirty SOB, you can't make out their faces. You can't. It's just light. That's all. It's just light. And then you realize that you no longer have a face either, from this perspective. So as you see your brother, you shall see yourself. Doesn't mean you go give him a hug in this level. But did everybody here sort of allow the see the light equally? You probably recognize that from one of the lessons. It's like lesson 161. Or maybe it's 193.
Just know it's easy to hate the haters. It's harder to love them.
Yeah.
But that's our job.
Yeah. We don't love what they do. We don't love what anything does at this level. But we see through them to what they really are. And that will reflect directly back on their source, which happens to be us. In truth, way beyond what you can see with your eyes, way beyond what you could write in a magazine article, or make any sense at all. But in your heart, in your awakened heart, you can see the sameness. Even here, where the specialty here is differences. That's what's really well done here, is differences and loss and death. Really well done. Let's dig in. Page 405, paragraph 7. Stephen, when you're ready, we're paragraph 7 on page 405.
While you believe that your reality or your brother's is bounded by a body, you will believe in sin. While you believe that bodies can unite, you will find guilt attractive and believe that sin is precious. For the belief that bodies limit mind leads to a perception of the world in which the proof of separation seems to be everywhere. And God and His creation seem to be split apart and overthrown. For sin would prove what God created holy could not prevail against it, nor remain itself before the power of sin. Sin is perceived as mightier than God, before which God Himself must bow and offer His creation to its conqueror. Is this humility or madness?
Other than the fact that it basically kills God, what's good about sin? What? No, this is very serious, you know? This whole idea of sin, being the proof of separation, being the proof that you can be separate from the One, it's a pretty big deal, you know, spiritual challenges go.
Well, Jesus died for our sin.
Yeah.
That's why he makes a big point about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yup. I love that story. Yeah. If you hold the idea that you actually somehow in some way exist, it means exist means your being is disconnected from everything else. Some part of you feel that's real. Some part of you could make a justification that you're actually on your own. Yeah, I think so. Every day and every way, there's so many reminders of how it's you against the world. It's duality. You against everything else. There's only two. You and everything else. Little you and everything else. That's the challenge. Just two. That's all.
Me and the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you look at everything else, it's actually a little, that's a little higher than where most of us spend our day. We don't spend much time looking at everything else. We spend our time looking at him, or her, or it, that job, or that situation, or this problem, or this body. How's it doing? Or your bank account. Well, let's make sure. This is where we spend most of our time, looking at the individual pieces of separation. Each of those is a program written, executed, and running to illustrate actively separation. Each one. Wrinkles, the best pizza, the worst pizza, the right ice cream shop, all the differences that are in this world. The right person for you. Oh my God, the wrong person for you. Don't ever go near somebody like that. You, for you. It's okay for Michaeline.
Yes? But it's on the other side of us.
Yes?
We can't get away from that because
right?
Wherever we are, that's where we are.
This is the good news and the bad news. That's correct. It's good news and bad news. Because these things appear real, it's bad and that they're out there. It appears out there, it's bad. The good news is, hey, it came from here. It's not actually existing on its own. It doesn't have an energy of its own to victimize me. Now that's really good news. The bad news is I feel victimized.
And you can't get away from it.
That means I'm doing it. I'm not sure whether you're giving me good news or bad news here, Walt. You're telling me that you found a problem in my life and it's me. Mm-hmm. But wait, I'm the one who's complaining that there's a problem. It can't be me. I'm the one who's being hurt. I'm the one who's suffering. But Walt's saying, no, you're standing in front of a mirror and you're arguing with what you see as it moves. But that's you moving in the mirror, see?
Yes, even if you say, well, yeah, I get your point. Technically, we're all one and I'm happy to be writing the script here, but yeah. Damn it, this person did me wrong. And I don't work with technicalities in my day-to-day life. I have to deal with reality.
Would you look at the poop on the lawn from that person who walks their dog? I've asked them to please not do that. It's against the rules, and yet they still do it. Who's going to clean that up? I can smell it in my bedroom window when I go to sleep at night. There's a don't tell me about I'm all one and God's secret perfect, everything's perfect. I got a problem here. It stinks. No, I that's all the same level in this world. It's all the same level. There's no order difficulty in miracles. There's no order difficulty in problems. All the same level. What a miracle does, it does not do in form. It does in your mind.
So true.
There's no relief in form. We could fix one or two or many. In fact, all of us get together and we'll go to Julie's house and we'll solve all Julie's problems as much as we can. We'll pull our money together, we'll take care of the car, you know, whatever it takes. Well, all of us could probably do something for a day. We'll probably, you know, be really nice, a great day. Here comes tomorrow. Julie's like, excuse me, I really had you work on the wrong thing. I'm so sorry. Can you all come back? Julie, we moved on to Dave and you're late. You can't solve it in the level of form. You can't do it. It's designed not to be solved, this world.
And there's such a simplicity. I'm just like realizing something that if it's not looked at differently, it resolves itself.
Yes.
Without effort.
Yes. And immediately.
Immediately.
Even though it might take some time to see it happen, by changing your mind, immediately the stress goes down. The miracle has an immediate effect on your experience.
I have to share this.
Bring it.
I had a roommate, a housemate, 3 months, moved out Saturday. People came to see the thing Friday, moved in Sunday. Hmm. Like, effortlessly, this whole thing just transpired effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like total peace now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, total peace. Mm-hmm. I never experienced anything like this before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where it was just effortless. And it was quite profound.
Nice. Healed. And the contrast is the teacher now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For a change of mind. You changed. Not with attack. If it was an attack, you'd have peaceful people in your house, but you'd wake up each morning with a little bit of anger left over for the people who with whom now you can only argue to straighten it out. They're gone. You can't even fix it anymore, but you'll carry it. This is how it's not peaceful. That's how an attack actually attacks the attacker. But if it was done peacefully and say, it really doesn't work, this is not, we're not
going
to.
Well, my goal was to have it work for everyone, for the highest good of everyone.
Uh-huh. Including yourself.
Including myself. And not figure it out. Let it do its own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And before I would be rationalizing and involving myself in mm-hmm. their process and
mm-hmm.
feeling guilty and ashamed that I maybe did something or mm-hmm. and it, none of that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's a way of doing things in this world, there's really only two flavors. There's joining or there's separating. And, whether it's, doing something like going to have a picnic or getting a divorce or in a street fight, the same rules apply. It's the approach in your mind. You do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This starts to make things same. Now, if I was really, really out of form, and I was really running this meeting, and absolutely, I went off and I started talking too much about some other book like we did last week for about 10 minutes. I would really want one of you to stand up and say, Andrew, can I talk to you? You know what? I came here for Course in Miracles. Would you mind? Let's do Course in Miracles. You're going to have to actually look like you're fighting me. You're going to actually have to come disrupt. I want that. I want to be treated like I want it. I want to treat you like I want you to treat me. And that way I keep integrous and simple. And actually it's love because it's equal. And there's a whole different way. Even though we're going to have to, you're going to come and change what I'm doing. You're going to shut me down.
It's going to appear that you're being shut down, but it's not really
right?
Shutting you down.
Yes.
It's expressing truth.
Yes.
The truth is that we are here to work on
the... It's what it says on the door. Course in Miracles 7:15. That's what it says. So it's the truth. And so that way, there's an alignment with the truth, because I know that, you know that, she knows that, everybody knows that, and it happens. And so you're a little bit of a nudge, you're, what we look at an attack is aligned. When somebody comes to be your roommate, there are a different set of things, but it's the same principle.
Exactly.
And so all you're doing is you're correcting. And we're talking about, in Course in Miracles, is also correcting. Remember we did that meditation about 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's what is correction. And it's moving back toward healthy. It's moving back toward the design. Moving back toward what it says on the wall.
Wholeness.
Oneness. Healthiness. Oneness. Yes. Yes. Okay, so tonight we're looking at, the way we see the other. You see another person. And let's see what Course in Miracles has to say about that in a couple of places. Right? So everybody's with me, right? The reason why we're talking about this is that you believe that attacking your brother works. You're actually cutting off your path back to God. You're killing the power of God by insisting that the competition will be successful for your happiness. Not for your life in the world. You move people out, you move people in, you fire the attorneys, you do what you have to do in the world. What we're talking about is your happiness. We're talking about your true identity as spirit. We're going to use your body, use your world, use your life, use your attack or your successes in this world. Holy Spirit's going to come in and counsel you on how to bring you back toward looking up toward the light versus down to how can I fix this problem out there. Okay? That's why we're looking at the brother. Keep that in mind. Let's go to page 142. Go backwards a few hundred pages and look at page 142, paragraph 4, is it? Yeah. Look at 142, paragraph 4. We're back in chapter 8. David, whenever you're ready.
142, number
8? Paragraph 4, actually.
Oh, 4. When you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this. For in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I'm always there with you in remembrance of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have woe written in the margin.
Yeah.
Such a good policy just to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Every time you interact. I had an interaction today with a new work associate. I thought I was being loving and kind, and she just got bitchy and mean. But I feel like I did everything I could. I mean, I had to let it go, but I mean, I was kind of really trying to just stay calm and be loving, and it wasn't good news. It wasn't an easy conversation, but I caught myself twice being tempted to just kind of say some nasty little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So easy.
So easy.
She had it coming.
Yeah, she had it coming. Yeah.
You got to keep that skill alive. Yeah. You force it over and over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, Mark should have been here tonight. I mean, it would have been perfect. But anyway, he's not here. It's perfect because I get to share something about
okay.
So the other day, I'm laying in bed. It's my shut-eye, trying to get to sleep, and I'm watching television. And then from our bedroom, there's a doorway to a studio. And so in order for him to go to the bathroom, he has to go through the bedroom. So we have this remote, and he's got his remote. I don't like to share it because I'm really anal about germ phobia.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, I know when he uses my remote because he always flips it upside down.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm laying in bed, and I remember seeing this upside down, which means he touched it. And so when he comes out to go to the bathroom, I'm shouting at him, "Hey, how many times do I have to tell you not to touch my remote?" You know, I mean, it's so insane. And in the middle of it, I'm hearing myself talk, right?
how crazy is this? And he's like, he's the closest person to me, and some days it feels like every time I turn around, he pulls out another thing, believes that's not okay in here, which means I don't behave that way because it's not okay, it's not acceptable. And so, and I see that in him, and then, I, you know, I always got to come back to see that, oh, it's got nothing to do with it. It's always me. So, you know, for me, sometimes it's best just to let it go. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say let it go, not in a, it is in a good way, mm-hmm. but if I feel nasty, mm-hmm. just let it out, because sometimes in my unconsciousness, I'm conscious and I can hear myself mm-hmm. saying these things that, wow, did I really just say that to God? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. The other piece to this too is the energy, the physical energy when I attack him. Sometimes he doesn't reciprocate. So what I'm expecting is that I have a certain momentum of anger, resentment, upset, and I can feel this energy going, and it really wants it wants a contact.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
wants him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Push back. To,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I feel powerful and I feel strong. Mm-hmm. However, once in a while he doesn't meet me, mm-hmm. and I get even madder. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all insane.
Isn't it a dance? Isn't a special relationship a dance? You know, there's music playing, which is a situation like the remote control, and then there's two people. And are you engaged in the dance? And you're supposed to stand up for your rights, and they're supposed to try to get their way. And you're supposed to be right most of the time. And they're supposed to say sorry, and you get a few points every time you're right, so maybe they owe you next time.
Right, because you didn't, you weren't provided a chance to justify your anger.
Uh-huh. So he could understand how serious it is. That's a special relationship. Now, we navigate our worlds and our lives in whatever way that you choose. The key here is not letting out of your mind what's really going on with your brother is not what you think is going on with your brother.
No.
Neither could you be able to verbalize what's really going on with you to your brother.
We're not mind readers.
Right?
What about psychiatry? Aren't they supposed to know what the...
If you pay them enough and you go for enough years, they want you to say it.
It's a matter of belief.
They say, I don't know what your problem is, but I'm going to help you say it. I'm going to help you surround your problem and be able to speak it, which is really great.
You know, Alan Watts said, anybody who goes to see a psychiatrist should have his head examined.
I just love the course's idea about what forgiveness is. Mm-hmm. It's a shift. It's a mm-hmm. shift, transformation in my mind. Mm-hmm. So it's always for me, it's about some aspects mm-hmm. of my belief that are so totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to transform. That's what I gotta let go. Mm-hmm. Like, these are just ideas. Mm-hmm. And I'm attaching my identity
yes.
with that.
Yes.
You know, I'm a person that absolutely needs to be respected by others.
Mm-hmm. And if that was different...
So when I don't,
yes.
then boom,
yep.
I react.
So you see, what you're doing is, by following that dance, that line of thinking, you're proving the separation to yourself. And you're saying, the reason why I'm not happy is because that remote control has been touched. And what's worse is, I'm starting to give that person who touched the remote control the attack. that they were attacking me. Now that is proven to yourself. The cost of separation is real, therefore separation is real. No, I'm not, Andrew. I'm just talking about a remote control, for crying out loud. Somebody who I've told 7 times in this week alone not to touch it, and they still touch it. All the same to me. Because I know that what's going on is a proof you're running a program that has an effect on you. I don't know what's going to do to the other person on the remote control and your relationship. I don't know, but I know what's going to do to you. And I know it's costing you something way more, if you'll remember the paragraph we read. It's costing you the ability for God to be true. That's where this goes. That's why we're spending so much time, and we'll do it again next week, on this little idea of sins, of mistakes that should be punished. Of mistakes that really can't be corrected. This is part of a block to the awareness of love's presence. We're going to try to let this soak in so that maybe miracles will occur in your life as you catch yourself getting your own way with something that you know to be true, but it's not true. These are the kind of things like a brick in the hallway at night. You get up to go to the bathroom and you left a brick in the hallway with the lights out. This is not going to go well for you.
But
a bloody toe or worse, and you left it there and you continue to leave it there. That's what it's like. That's what we're getting at here with these proofs that we have of separation. And of course, the miracles, I never see anything more potent to go find those bricks that we left in the hallway, that we put in the hallway and we keep in the hallway for some strange reason. It does not need to be there.
Live in the toilet.
That causes other problems.
In the tank.
Oh, yeah, okay, in the toilet tank. Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
Creative thinking there.
Yes, Ms. Uncle.
Love is, I think many people think the whole idea or concept of love, it's always in a state of joy, always in a state of connection. You know, there's sort of a hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo kind of feeling associated with it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't experience that at all. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll come in that form. And sometimes it takes dedication mm-hmm. to discipline yourself. Mm-hmm. And it takes hard work. Mm-hmm. And the difference when I'm being that love and allowing that love to flow through mm-hmm. is that I don't withhold the good mm-hmm. for myself and others. Mm-hmm. So
it's a sharing, Masako.
Yeah. Extension.
It's an extension of what is true for you right. extends to what is true for them. And what for them is true for them is also true for you. Did you hear that? It's a sharing. Both truths are meeting. This is the holy relationship. It's inclusive. Not exclusive. Your truth, their truth, and they're the best truther win. No. It's so much more fun to share. It's what you were doing when you first met.
And you really don't experience it, honestly, if it's not an extension. If it's just an imaginative, kind of what you were saying, if it's just an idea of
yes.
love, or even a thought that gives you good feelings,
yep.
it's not the same as really extending your joy, extending
yes.
it.
Yes.
You can't know it unless it comes from yourself.
Can't know it. That's right.
That's kind of where I am with someone, and yeah. It's like, yeah, I still feel the same. Mm-hmm. But I'm not giving it so you feel better. I'm extending it to touch that in
because
you.
It's honest. Mm-hmm. Honest means it's what you're thinking and what you're saying and what you're doing are all the same.
So you're trying to establish a connection or make a connection better?
No, the connection's mm-hmm. already there. It's been there for 40-some years.
You're trying to make it better, though.
But it's evolved and the idea of the other person is that I'm bringing this to them, when really I'm experiencing a reflection of it in them. I'm extending it and enjoying it, and really, it's true for me. But turn to, it's not turn, around.
Turn to workbook page 480, and we'll read about some of what Michaeline's talking about.
Thank you, Andrew. 480.
480, and it's lesson 351. Check this out. Doesn't this cut right to a little bit of instruction? Course in Miracles is such a gift because it's practical. It actually gives you something to do. What to do? How do I go up the staircase? How do I stop judging? How do I stop attacking? How do I do it? I don't want to be an attacker. I don't want to be a judger. I want to learn to love. With whatever, at this physical existence, can I touch love? What would it be like? What can I do to improve the light in my life?
Just go up the down staircase.
You go up. Go up the down staircase. That's a good start. It's been down all your life. Now we'll go up.
It'll lead one way, but it, you can go up.
480 in the workbook.
In the workbook. Okay, we got it. Marion, you ready? Would you read for us?
I am. I love it.
Lesson 351, baby.
Oh, I wanted to do 352.
All right, you can have them both. Read them both.
My sinless brother is my guide to peace. My sinful brother is my guide to pain. And which I choose to see, I will behold. Who is my brother but your holy son? And if I see him sinful, I proclaim myself a sinner, not a son of God. Alone and friendless in a fearful world, yet this perception is a choice I make and can relinquish. I can also see my brother sinless as your holy son. And with this choice, I see my sinlessness, my everlasting comforter and friend, beside me and my way secure and clear. Choose then for me, my Father, through your voice, for he alone gives judgment in your name.
And I'm going to read this again for us, but I want you to be thinking now, as I read what Marion just read, that you are a creator, you are a dreamer, dreaming a dream. And there's no sin here, there's no problem. You are fulfilling, with your own power, the idea to be a character in your own dream. And all we're doing here is giving you a little bit of counsel. You've gone so far from love. Listen to how it sounds. My sinless brother is my guide to peace. My sinful brother is my guide to pain. Which I choose to see, I will behold. Who is my brother but your holy son? And if I see him sinful, I proclaim myself a sinner, not a son of God. That is, if I see him sinful, I proclaim myself a sinner, not a son of God. I'm alone and friendless in a fearful world. Yet this perception, it is a choice I make and can relinquish. I can also see my brother sinless as your holy son. And with this choice, I see my sinlessness, my everlasting comforter and friend beside me, and my way secure and clear. Choose then for me, my Father, through your voice, for he alone gives judgment in your name. It's like changing the program that's running in your life. You will witness that which you extend. And if you're extending a problem, you're going to witness a problem. So you see the circle?
I see it.
Yeah. Okay, now Marion, read for us 352.
352. Judgment and love are opposites. From one come all the sorrows of the world, but from the other comes the peace of God Himself. Forgiveness looks on sinlessness alone and judges not. Through this I come to you. Judgment will bind my eyes and make me blind. Yet love, reflected in forgiveness here, reminds me, you have given me a way to find your peace again. I am redeemed when I elect to follow in this way. You have not left me comfortless. I have within me both the memory of you and the one who leads me to it. Father, I would hear your voice and find your peace today, for I would love my own identity and find it in the memory of you.
Recontextualizing. You. Recontextualizing you from where you look. Moving you back to a true identity with God. So you now are an extension of peace and love and truth. Having something really fun to share. Versus an extension of shadow and competition and loss. And then you have something not very fun at all to share. And then it's not fun for you or anybody.
So you're extending illusion of it.
Yeah! Illusions are chaotic.
But they're undependable also.
They take. They break. That's the whole goal, not to be real. Yes.
I want to talk about it. My favorite thing.
I know.
The miracle flows through you, right, as you extend it to the world. Mm-hmm. And there is an energy to it, right? When you express love, he can feel it going out. It's, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's an energy, and you can feel that, oh my God, I really am a channel for the grace of God. You can feel it.
It's an experience, like you have said before. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a journey beyond words.
Right.
Well, you know, in that moment, mm-hmm. when you're expressing that miracle, mm-hmm. and you feel that it's coming through you, going out,
mm-hmm.
The world sort of becomes insignificant. Mm-hmm. The form, mm-hmm. whatever your circumstance, or the people, it doesn't matter, because you are returned to that Christ vision where everything is love, and you can see that, you can feel it.
Look at page 512
in the text.
Next, 512. Paragraph 5. Read a couple of these paragraphs. Check it out. Go for it, Julie.
Look on your brother and behold in him the whole reversal of the laws that seem to rule this world. See in his freedom yours. For such it is.
Now hold on right there, because we're not going to go back over these, so I might stop you along the way a little bit. See in his freedom to mess with the remote control. Again. You know that SOB was doing whatever he does. You okay, Carol?
Yeah, thank you.
He's doing whatever he does, whatever day is going on in his life, and he reached over, grabbed the remote control nearest, used it, and then put it down and kept going. That's what he did. See, a way to heal in a holy relationship fashion, a way to heal the perception is to see in his freedom yours. For so it is.
That's so weird, because I just said to this person, I pray for you to be free of all that fear.
Uh-huh.
Because they were sharing fear.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
And I said, I pray every day that you are free from your fears.
Yes.
And when I discontinued the relationship, I felt free, and I felt free for them.
Yeah.
Yes,
and you didn't have to wait for that.
No.
During the episodes, during the difficulties, as a friend of mine used to call them, difficulties, they don't want to face it. During the difficulties, you could see their freedom to move and land on their feet in Colorado. It's great this time of year. See in their freedom. In their freedom is your own. Even though they don't want to move. They don't.
I mean, they're not aware at the time. I mean, it's like...
And you're not going to fix that either.
I'm not going to fix it.
But you can fix your own mind.
Yeah. It's an opportunity to honor the freedom.
Yes. Yes. And know the freedom. You don't try to necessarily sell it to them.
Or talk to them. I couldn't even talk about it that way because they're not familiar with the Course in Miracles.
Yes.
And so
that
was moot. But I had to honor where I saw what I saw as truth and what was real.
And then that shows up on your face. If it's not just a story trying to make things better, but it's a truth, then it shows up in your face. And they wonder, why are you so calm? You know what happens in emergency situations?
Why are you so happy?
Why are you so happy? That's a comment you get a lot. Why are you not worried? That's a comment I get a lot. You know, when things go bad. You know, I can't be worried about something that's just not going to turn out horrible. It's not going to take anything of value from me, so I'm not really worried. Here we go. All right? Okay, please continue. Isn't that amazing? See in his freedom yours, for such it is.
Let not his specialness obscure the truth in him, for not one law of death you bind him to. For not one law of death you bind him to will you escape. And not one sin you see in him but keeps you both in hell. Yet will his perfect sinlessness release you both, for holiness is quite impartial, with one judgment made for all it looks upon.
Okay, yet will his perfect sinlessness release you both, okay? Even that SOB doing that horrible pattern over and over again. You all see the movie The Shack by now? You see The Shack, Marion?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. So, see... Get your blankie, though, because it's a little scary in the beginning.
Oh,
scary. Okay, you ever see anybody else? Anybody see The Shack?
No, that's not really scary.
Oh, all right.
Well, I want to see it now.
Yeah.
I will need my blankie.
Get your blankie, John.
Yeah.
Popcorn, not my blankie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, The Shack is this movie that's out recently, and it's got a really strong spiritual theme. Something horrible happens to somebody, and then they go talk to God about it.
Cool.
And you know what? It's got a really potent, especially with the shooting in Las Vegas, it went out. It's a real, it tees it up pretty high. Like, you know, we got a serious problem here. God, how do you let this happen? You call yourself loving? I don't think so. That's how the movie starts. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
The boat scene is the real. That scene on the boat, that's the
Is this in the theaters now?
No, you can rent it, and that's on Netflix.
Okay.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
It's called The Shack,
S-H-A-C-K. S-H-A-C-K. It was a book in, what, the 80s or something? 90s?
I don't know the date.
Yeah, it was pretty popular. But anyway, I think it's worth your time, of course, as you know, as interested in God. If you're interested in reconciling good and evil, I think I like it. Check it out. It certainly speaks to this exact paragraph.
So does it have an ironic ending without giving it away?
No, it's all totally predictable.
Really? Come on, man, you're being...
But it will rake you through the coals, and you'll be hiding under your blanket for part of it. All right. Now, not one sin you see in your brother but keeps you both in hell, yet will his perfect sinlessness release you both, even while they do what they do. You see? We're not asking you to fantasize that that person is not a freaking SOB. That they don't do horrible things in this world. That's not just not realistic. That's not helpful. I think that's some kind of new fantasy thing that you'd find in some other spiritual programs. Trying to see everybody as perfect as they do what they do. That's not the goal here at all. This Course in Miracles helps you get away from form. Trying to fix it or trying to appreciate it. Both. Mm-hmm. We're working with your mind. We're working with what we call Christ vision, where you actually open your third eye and you're able to see past what your two eyes used to block your vision. That's what we're doing here. It's the only way you will find sanity. You will not be able to fix this world ever so that you find love here and peace and perfection. No. I have to remind you that Jesus died at like 33 years old and was not pretty. That's okay. That's what the world does. Even the pissed. He was okay with that. That's how that works out. Roommates have to move. That's how it works out. There's not really a problem there. In their freedom, you will find your own. In their freedom, and those people who moved out, Micheline, when you see their freedom, you will find your own. I'm not saying what happens in their head. That's not your business.
Right.
Jesus saw in the freedom of the people who were crucifying him his own freedom. He says, ah, they don't know what they do.
But Andrew, how do you define freedom that other people have? They're not acting out of choice.
You know, they're acting out of victimhood and persecution. In fact, psychosis even, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay?
But
what they do
mm-hmm. is that, not... That doesn't show me freedom if there's father, right?
It shows you freedom.
It shows you freedom, and you get to a place where you're not judging it or evaluating
yes.
it in that manner.
Yes.
And that's freedom, because
yes.
you're free from looking at them as a problem.
Yes. Even as they kill.
Even as they kill.
So
yeah.
they're making
that's
their
right.
choices.
Yes, they're making choices, John.
Okay.
Choice,
okay.
My friend. You thank you. Went right to the bottom of it. Okay. The one remaining freedom you have in this existence that you've cornered yourself into is choice. That's a quote from the book.
So you can't choose that. You can't choose that. That's what I'm hearing. You need to be able to choose
yes.
whatever so that you can choose
there's
what's not really whatever.
Choices.
Yes.
There's only two choices.
You start choosing the truth,
love,
and you get more truth. And please show me some more truth. Would somebody pick out in this book something true? All right, that's what we're doing.
Well, in the,
just like
the beginning
that.
Of the book,
yes.
it says the goal
yes.
of this book
yes.
is peace. So
yes.
it's peace of mind.
There
that's
you go.
The only place.
Start with that. Start with being peaceful over the remote control and see where it takes you.
Put it in a plastic bag.
See, if I ever share something.
We got a solution over here from Martha Stewart. Has got a solution.
Put a little chain on it.
Martha Stewart says, put it in a plastic bag. Brilliant, Marion.
Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it, though.
I don't really understand. I mean, I can love you, and it's a beautiful thing, and I don't have to understand. I just, to me, I find these interactions between people, like, if that's what they are, interaction between people, like, amazing and all, because I don't seem to have it. I just don't really understand, because if I don't want someone to touch my remote control, they're not going to touch it. Because it's not going to be available. And that's not right or wrong or anything. I just find, like, what's that about? You don't want to touch the but you put it right there. I don't know how they're not going to touch it. Maybe lick it.
It's passive aggressive.
Leave it upside down.
Giving you a chance to attack.
It seems like this is the connection you guys have.
It's the perfect bait. It's the
sheer remote control.
Yes.
I don't understand.
The perfect bait.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to yell. Oh, so you found the problem.
I found the problem.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
You know, Saturday I saw one of my dearest friends, and she's been grappling with cancer for the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and she's been to she's joined the Oneness. I think that's another spiritual community. It's called the Oneness,
mm-hmm.
and then she's been all the way down to Brazil 3 times to see John of God,
mm-hmm.
and have these metaphysical surgery. I forgot there's a name for them. And then now she's got this new person, a shaman, that she's doing a second trip
mm-hmm.
to Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I had lunch with her on Saturday, and she was talking about reincarnation, mm-hmm. because she went to a psychic. And one of the questions that she asked was, why does this cancer keep coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the psychic told her, and this is a part that I really want to get to. So the psychic told her that she has a whole generation of family that's susceptible and it's been handed down. And the way she talked about it, it was like she totally accepted that that was what so. And I'm listening to her, and I'm mad as hell. Why? No way in hell would I accept that idea that God blessed me with having this ongoing cancer because it stops. After I get the cancer, it's going to stop for generations after me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then at some point, I thought, okay, this too is love. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't see it, I see it in her face. For whatever reason, whatever ideas that she has, she was totally okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I was okay after recognizing it. I don't understand it. I don't have to know. Mm-hmm. I have to just return to peace.
There's this woman who, I told you this a couple of times probably, this is my cancer story, that this woman, she just was wealthy enough and set aside enough, had her kids were out of the home and she had time, and she was the servant for the community. And she would, you know, be there. Somebody had a sick dog, cat, mother, father, brother. She was just the one that would squirrel up with the food and would show up with the extra car and the extra time and organization skills for the communities. And as a get-together, she'd be at the bottom of it all and the top of it all and doing the dishes when it was over. What a wonderful soul. And she got cancer. Course in Miracles student. And the only comment she had, God, you know, people say, gee, that's tough. You're just the most giving, wonderful person. You've been there for everybody, and now you got cancer. And without even skipping a beat, she's like, well, why not? Why not me?
Yeah.
It's just cancer. It's just the body. Bodies do that.
Can't
it's not personal. Okay, Julie, did you finish your paragraph?
I don't know.
Go ahead and read that paragraph again. So we're going to read 5-9. I'll try not to interrupt so much, but it's tough. Okay.
So you want me to start over?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Look on your brother and behold in him the whole reversal of the laws that seem to rule this world. See in his freedom yours, for such it is. Let not his specialness obscure the truth in him, for not one law of death you bind him to will you escape, and not one sin you see in him but keeps you both in hell. Yet will his perfect sinlessness release you both. For holiness is quite impartial, with one judgment made for all it looks upon, and that is made not of itself, but through the voice that speaks for God in everything that lives and shares his being.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it is his sinlessness that eyes that see can. It is his sinlessness that eyes that can see, that see can look upon him.
Yeah, and in that sentence, the word "his," you know, really should be punched. It's because it's the shift in perception is that the capital "his," the sinlessness of
italicized.
Yeah, italicized would be good. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and punch that up as you read it. Well.
It is his sinlessness that eyes that see can look upon. It is his loveliness that they see in everything. And it is he they look for everywhere and find no sight nor place nor time where he is not. Within your brother's holiness, the perfect frame for your salvation and the world's, is set the shining memory of him in whom your brother lives, and you along with him. Let not your eyes be blinded by the veil of specialness that hides the face of Christ from him, and you as well. And let the fear of God no longer hold the vision you were meant to see from him. Your brother's body shows not Christ to you.
he is set forth within his holiness.
Yes. Your brother's body shows not Christ to you. He is set forth within his holiness. That shows the Christ to you. The body will show you something else. It's designed for that. Let's continue. Taco 7.
Okay. Choose then his body or his holiness as what you want to see, and which you choose is yours to look upon. Yet will you choose in countless situations and through time that seems to have no end until the truth be your decision. Mm-hmm. For eternity is not regained by still one more denial of Christ in him. Mm-hmm. And where is your salvation if he is but a body? Where is your peace but in his holiness? And where is God himself but in that part of him he set forever in your brother's holiness, that you might see the truth about yourself set forth at last in terms you recognize and understand?
Understood.
Thank you.
That's a question mark.
Michaeline, 8.
Your brother's holiness is sacrament and benediction unto you. His errors cannot withhold God's blessing from himself.
Okay, his errors. So we're talking about, obviously he makes these errors around this remote control, or around the money, or around the whatever. We're not denying that there absolutely are errors here, but they're errors. They're mistakes.
Not sin
that needs to be punished and never forgiven and will block him from heaven. If that's possible, you're next.
Okay. His errors cannot withhold God's blessing from himself, nor you see him truly. His mistakes can cause delay, which it is given you to take from him, that both may end a journey that has never begun and needs no end. What never was is not a part of you, yet you will think it is until you realize that it is not a part of him who stands beside you. He is the mirror of yourself. I'm going to cry. Wherein you see the judgment you have laid on both of you. The Christ in you beholds his holiness. Your specialness looks on his body and beholds him not.
And there now stand two witnesses on your brother. One we call the ego and the separator and the problem finder. And from that comes all the misery in your life. And the other one is going to be the Christ vision, where the Holy Spirit is counseling, the joiner. And from that will come all the love in your life that you will ever experience. All the love that you would care to keep will come from the Holy Spirit's translation of the situation. Let's continue. There's more.
See him as what he is. That is, your deliverance may not be.
Yeah, it's an instruction.
That your deliverance may not be long.
In other words, do this for that.
what
to do?
Your deliverance may not be long. A senseless wandering without a purpose and without accomplishment of any kind is all the other choice can offer you. Utility of function not fulfilled will haunt you while your brother lies asleep. Till what has been assigned to you is done and he is risen from the past. He who condemned himself, and you as well, is given you in the same from condemnation, along with you, and both shall see God's glory in his Son, whom you mistook as flesh, and bound to laws that no longer power him.
Bound
power
to laws at all. Yeah. The laws that have no power over him at all, and yet you stuck him in the middle of them. We are talking about a shift in perception. This is what a miracle is. You have to see somebody bound up in their psychosis or their selfishness or their anger
fears.
Or in their fears or in their guilt or whatever flavor is it going to be to make that person sinful and needing a punishment, whatever it is. These are all rules that you are holding them in. And by reflection, you are being held the same way. You are actually making this your world. You're making your world with your perceptions.
Mm-hmm. So it's just projection.
Yes. It's actually extending an illusion. And you're the first person to feel it, even though you think it's out there. Mm-hmm. So by having a miracle, a shift in perception, right in the middle of the problem, the relief is instant. As it starts to unwind, it starts to get lighter. The situation's still ugly, but it's no longer as heavy, like that. It's the same way sickness starts to get less problematic. The body sickness I'm talking about. The minute you stop judging it and worrying about it, it starts to get lighter.
And there's peace.
And then there's a little peace, a little light in the dream. A little light shows up, see? And everything changes with the light shining on it. Yeah, we could spend all night on that paragraph. And one day we will. So, but for now, okay, we just hold it right there. Isn't this great? Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a great explanation of the mechanics of projection.
Yes.
And I'm reading this over again.
Good. Yeah, this is great because it gets into the whole prisoner aspect of it. You can see, we kind of feel that, right? You're making yourself a prisoner to what you're holding the prisoner to. You know, the jailer on the outside of the bars, you can't go too far from the bars because the guy he's trying to keep in him will get out. So you got to stay there, too, even though you're on the outside. You're still in jail, get it?
But you can't get out unless you change your beliefs.
Yes.
It's all about your beliefs.
Yes, you have to change the way you see the person inside. Good. All right. That was pretty good stuff, huh?
Yep.
Okay, we have a little more time here. I think it's... Yeah, it is. 152... Yeah, go to page 152 in the text. This is just a fantastic section. The body as a means of communication. It's where we put light in the dream. It's where we reverse what the ego would use to separate. Now the Holy Spirit would use to join. And we'll go back up the same staircase that you wound, got yourself into so much trouble with. We'll go back up the same staircase and get out. Lighter with every step.
I just read this too.
Did you?
Unreal.
All right. Yeah, I mean, this is a really great... This is just a...
152?
152. It's just a wonderful, wonderful section.
Number 5 is what I read. And 6.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to read, Michaeline, is 5 and 6. Yeah. So, who's up next? John, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Yes, sir. Yet all loss comes only from your own misunderstanding. Loss of any kind is impossible. But when you look upon a brother as a physical entity, his power and glory are lost to you, and so are yours. You have attacked him, but you must have attacked yourself first. Do not see him this way for your own salvation, which must bring him his. Do not allow him to belittle himself in your mind, but give him freedom from his belief in littleness, and thus escape from yours. As part of you, he is holy. As part of me, you are. To communicate with part of God himself is to reach beyond the kingdom, and to its creator. Through his voice, which he has established as part of you.
Rejoice then, that of yourself you can do nothing. Well, you're not of yourself. That's the good news. He of whom you are has willed your power and glory for you, with which you can perfectly accomplish his holy will for you when you accept it for yourself. He's not withdrawn his gifts from you, but you believe you've withdrawn them from him. Let no son of God remain hidden for God's name's sake, because his name is yours. The way into the darkness now is the way out of the darkness. We're gonna leverage what you've made as a separation device, and it will now become the bridge back. It's the kindest way. Okay, check out this. Check out. Okay, try this. Turn to page 515 in the text. And this is a section called the meeting place. Page 515. And look at the bottom of the page, or paragraph 6. And look how this works. Stefan, when you're ready.
The test of everything on earth is simply this. What is it for? The answer makes it what it is for you. It has no meaning of itself, yet you can give reality to it according to the purpose that you serve. Here you are but means along with it. God is a means as well as end. In heaven, means and end are one, and one with him. This is the state of true creation, found not within time, but in eternity. To no one here is this describable, nor is there any way to learn what this condition means. Not till you go past learning to the given, not till you make again a holy home for your creations, is it understood.
Not till you go past learning. Learning in this book is defined as change. Change. Change in perception. You need to learn what's false is false, what's true is true. The fact that you know something that isn't true has been a real bummer on your life. So we're going to have to do some changing to free you up. But there is going past learning, because after all, if you are a child of God, an extension of the truth, you do not need to learn anything. You're a creator. In the separated state of illusion, you need to learn a lot. But this sentence points to that. It says, go past learning to what? The given. And it's capitalized.
So learning is a perpetuation of the illusion.
Learning can be a perpetuation of the illusion if it goes down the staircase. It teaches you how to attack better and how loss and death are real to be avoided. Or learning can reverse you up the staircase, like we're doing here, I believe, and make your life lighter and happier as you release this world without fear. Same tool. Learning.
I see.
When we look past learning, where there's no change to be made, we're actually stepping out of our curriculum. The Course only touches it a few, actually several, many times even, but it's not the job of the book. This sentence actually goes beyond the Course's curriculum. When it says, look past learning to the given. You will, it's putting you at the doorstep of where you are absolutely going in your truth. It turns out that the word give is, I think it's the fifth most popular word in this book. Of all the 490,000 words, number five is given, give, and gift. It sneaks up on you. It's a message of the book. It's a metaphysics of the book. It's not in the titles. It's in the meat.
The more you give, the more you get back.
Yes, as you give, you receive. When you give, you receive. And as God gave you, God received you.
It's a big one.
It's a big one, right? Yeah. But it's kind of in the background.
It's the experience of extension.
It's the experience of extension. Yeah. Sharing, I think, is the approach to love that is just so sweet. So sweet. It's a giving and a receiving at the same time.
Well, it's really it's a remarkable idea realized, is that since the world that we live in is all an effect,
mm-hmm.
which means it's an illusion, something that you made up with your mind,
mm-hmm.
then you just kind of let it be, because it doesn't mean anything.
Gentle indifference.
It's very simple, and it's that idea does not live in this world.
It does not.
No.
It does not live in this world. Now turn a few more pages to the right, to page 519. Last week we were here for a whole different reason. This same page. But now we're reading paragraph 2.
How can you manifest the Christ in you except to look on holiness and see Him there? Perception tells you you are manifest in what you see. Behold the body, and you believe that you are there. And every body that you look upon reminds you of yourself, your sinfulness, your evil, and above all, your death. And hold you not despise the one who tells you this, and seek his death instead. The message and the messenger are one, and you must see your brother as yourself. Framed in his body, you will see your sinfulness, wherein you stand condemned. Set in his holiness, the Christ in him proclaims himself as you.
The book says it again and again and again. And each time, if you were to actually try to follow this, if you try to do something about this in your life, you'd have to do a major shift in perception of this person, whoever it is. They look like a body. And there's something coming from that body that makes noise and does what it does with remote controls, no matter what you say to it. It happens. The Course says, use your Christ vision. And see even in that, what's really going on. Because if you leave it with what your eyes report and with what your brain calculates as a cost, you are staying in prison. This is how you stay in prison. This is how you have a difficult life. It's how you do it.
So do you recommend to see it in a different perspective on it?
Yes.
Referring these things that set you to the Holy Spirit automatically.
Yes.
And then you'll be getting, answers.
Yes.
To start on the path up the down staircase.
That's it. You pick whatever one's right in front of you that day, that hour, that minute, and you take it, and you stop before you respond to it, before you judge it, before you do anything about it. You just take it silently. You go to Olchi's closet. You remember Olchi? Your Olchi? Boy, she just kept going and going. She called me up a little while later, and this Course in Miracles just lit a fire in that woman's life. And you think about it. And you say, Holy Spirit, show me how this is good news. What? Yeah, even this. And we just got a huge clue from this paragraph. It says, in their freedom you will find your own, for such it is. It just is. It's a whole different way of looking at it.
So you're releasing them from any guilt.
Yes.
With their action.
Yes.
But you're also releasing yourself from guilt.
Yes.
Thereby releasing yourself.
Yes.
You're perceiving it.
Yes.
Easier said than done.
It's easier done in your mind with the help of the Holy Spirit, and you're looking at the correct level, spirit to spirit, not body to body. Julie?
Yes. Just today, this parent, very worried about the welfare of her child, in such though, was just like total attack mode with me. And, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to hold these people accountable? And you're not telling me anything I want to hear. And I couldn't even get a word in edgewise, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I was like, my body started to actually react, and I was sort of like shaking because I was so flustered and so like feeling like on the defensive, even though like I knew what I needed to do for my job, but like this woman. But all of a sudden, I was just like, breathe. There's no problem here. There's no problem here. Mm-hmm. And that also, like, in a few minutes, this phone call will be over. Like, it's, you know, there's just no problem. And in that, I actually didn't feel like any sort of miracle in the moment, but I just took a breath. And nothing dramatically shifted in the moment, but when the phone call was wrapping up, I realized that she had de-escalated. And I was thinking, like, what did I do? Like, how did I turn around? Because actually, I've talked to parents many a time, and I tried every trick in my book, and I was failing. And I was like, why can't I get her to turn? And then when I was wrapping up the conversation, I'm like, wait, she's like not upset anymore. And so, you know, I just think that that was kind of this beautiful moment. Beautiful moment.
Do we send out subliminal messages all the time?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Some very subliminal, and the others are right on your face and you can't see it. You remember we talked about micro expressions? That's how you tell somebody's lying, right? Or somebody's happy. That little twitch of the lip when they're about to give you some good news.
Or avert their eyes when they're about to lie to you?
Yeah, and even smaller than that. When somebody has got they pull a prank on you or something. Mm-hmm. Or it's your birthday, right? And they're trying to pull an April Fool's kind of thing on you, but it's really good news. They're just leaking all over their face. These little bit of the lip here, a little bit of the eye there.
It's called a tell in poker.
It's called a tell in poker. It's a tell, you bet. And we all got them. There's a micro.
You've got to be good not to have them.
If you got your Tom Cruise's millions of dollars because he can fake it, and Brad Pitt and all these wonderful actresses and actors, they can actually cleanse they can somehow block that or they can reproduce, they can step in and make the micro expressions occur on purpose. Most of us not living in Hollywood can't do that. So that's on your face as well as the subliminal things that come with your energy. It's there. You nobody's such a good actor you can hide it all. Yeah.
Yeah,
Masako.
When I learn anything new,
mm-hmm.
there is basically two process. One is to intellectualize the material to understand it so it makes sense to you. And then the other one is it's the actual experience of that thing. So you have to expose yourself. You have to practice these ideas and concepts. And then you will embody that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be the third step.
Mm-hmm.
So, extension to me, it's about constantly practicing what you know, experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you consciously allow something else to reveal itself to my, to me, to myself.
When we talked about experience a moment ago?
Yeah.
When you actually put this stuff to work and you try it, you realize it, or you embody it with your body, or you realize it, you make it real for you, you act on it. That's what faith is. Faith is where you actually walk the talk, and then you get to witness whether or not it's any good at all, because you trusted it. How did it work out for you? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you bet.
You have to do this repeatedly.
Try patience. Try patience, for example. You just try patience. You know, you feel like really getting on somebody's case, let me give them just a little more time to work it out. You know, immediately there's a difference.
This is, just let me complete my thought. Because this is the most powerful step, because through your experience, there's evidence that, wow, you know, this stuff really works. And that's more of a carrot. It's a support, it's an encouragement that you want to continue this because you like the result. But those steps, it's that full circle. You come home and then you're ready for another one. But I, for me, life is constantly like that. You experience that, you understand something, and you have to experience it. Otherwise, it's nothing. It's like reading a novel. Why bother? You know?
Yeah. Put it to work.
Yeah.
Try defenselessness.
That's beautiful.
Don't defend yourself for a while, and see how it changes your interactions.
That's exactly one of the things that I did during the weekend.
Yeah, you know, nice, good.
Just like, and then I would get a thought, I would identify a thought, oh, you know, she's doing this or he's doing that. And I go, oh, that's just a thought. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just, so rather than identifying the thought or with the thought, I just saw it as, oh, it's just a thought.
Perfect. Let's have a circle. It's that simple, Micheline. That's it.
Oh, you poor Walt.
There's a full hand.
Take a breath.
Hold it.
In your brother's freedom, you will find your own. In your brother's need to be limited, you will find your own limit. It comes back to you the minute you recognize that as you give, you receive. Even if it's only in your mind, you're still going to do things with your body that aren't so nice. We're working with your mind. This is where you will transmit peace both to yourself and to anybody around you, even those who you're about to arrest in some way, if that's what's needed in your life, or if it's your children, or if it's your pets. You come at it with peace, you come at it with certainty, and the way you do that is you simply follow the trio of honesty in the back of the book, which is what you are thinking, and then what you are saying, and what you are doing. They're all the same. This will bring a sense of peace, and realize that that is what you would wish on anybody else. In their freedom, you will find your own. Nice meditation to take. Set your brother free in their truth, and you will be free in yours. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. Good. Thanks, everybody.
When I just said that, I realized I'm judging.
That's exactly what I did.
Before you make this decision, and if you make this decision for Scientology, I'll try to do it. I mean, I will. If you're intervening, controlled by a certain concept.